Well, good afternoon to everyone, and a very, very happy, well, Merry Christmas and very happy Christmas Eve, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Now, where can you live where you have a cool climate, but you've got bright, sunny days right before Christmas? Started out a little rainy, a little inclement earlier today, but boy, it turned out to be such a beautiful day, and it feels so great to be on the island today. I feel so blessed, and yeah, it just feels really good to be with all you folks today, and I just want to take this opportunity to welcome you to Adventures in Recovery. I'm Tom Walston, your host for the next half hour, and I truly look forward to spending 30 minutes with you each and every Tuesday at 1:30 on Voice of Ashon 101.9, while we explore the many ways we can recover and move towards having a happier, more fulfilling life. So I hope you've all done everything you need to do to be having a family day tomorrow, Christmas Day. And when I say a family day, I don't necessarily mean family of origin. You know, we've all hopefully developed family of contact. We develop family people, whoever's in our lives. Sometimes that consists of four-leggeds as well. Our pets are family. So the main thing is that you practice self-care tomorrow and make it kind of a special day. That might seem like you have some traditions in your family, in your group of friends. You know, you have the family of option, family of origin, and family of choice. So anyway, once again, welcome. I'm glad you're with us today. Hey, for those of you that maybe need some help getting insurance, like public health through King County, I just want to let you know that there's going to be help. Once again, we've got the lovely and talented Miguel coming back to town. This guy is just a godsend. He provides so many people with help. But coming up January 4th, and do you believe that's just almost less than 2 weeks away? From 1 to 4 p.m., he's going to be at the Vashon Library once again, helping you with open enrollment. And, you know, even if you need food stamps, you know, assistance and things like that, you know, just go check it out and see what you're entitled to. You know, some of us need to swallow our pride and just be humble about it. But, you know, that's what it's there for. It's there to help people. And if you don't reach out, a lot of times you don't get help. So speaking of help, the scuttlebutt on the island has been, well, it's starting to become a reality about, I'm talking about the Thunderbird Treatment Center. And, you know, there's some pros and cons about that on the island. But vision, if you will, a multi-bed facility that not only helps people detox from drugs and or alcohol, but actually provides inpatient treatment and temporary housing and is all self-enclosed. You know, imagine, and that's still a fantasy for us here in the island because it hasn't come to fruition yet. However, excuse me, I have a guest with me today who has done exactly that. There is a facility in Tacoma. It's just a ferry ride away, and it's close to the Point Defiance ferry landing, where this gentleman is going to share some of his story. But he's going to tell you how a person can go out to homeless camps, ask who wants recovery. Because some people will say they want recovery, but it's just for a spin dry. Because once they get through detox, where do they go? They go right back to the environment they just came from. Well, my guest's name is Kenny Moultrie. He's developed a facility where not only do they actually go out into the environments, into the tent camps, the homeless camps, ask people who want recovery. They come in, they get detoxed, and they have their mental health professionals there, being able to guide them through the issues and the trauma that maybe they grew up with. They also have 75 beds. So can you imagine, they've taken 75 people on, not taken, they've accepted 75 people off the streets in Tacoma, in Pierce County, but I'm sure that branches off into maybe King County as well. And Kenny will fill you in with that in just a moment. But he can tell the story a lot better than I can. So it's really my honor to present to you the program coordinator of the Tacoma Project, is what it's called, Kenny Moultrie. Welcome, Kenny. Glad to have you.
Thanks, Tom. Glad to be here.
So, Kenny, can you take us? I know you've got your own story of kind of how you got into recovery, but can you start us kind of filling us in about what your facility provides, and then we'll go into your story in a minute.
Yeah. So the Tacoma Project, its whole purpose is addressing homelessness. We believe that homelessness is not a housing problem. It's a behavioral health problem. Working in the field for many years, especially in homeless encampments, what I saw is that everybody out there, for the most part, was struggling with drug addiction, alcoholism, and mental health issues. And the current system does not cater to that. When you're homeless, at best, what you're going to get is a shelter or a tiny home or some form of shelter with no services or very minimal, and there's still active drug use going on. And when it comes to the homeless, in the beginning, they need to be protected from their own choices. And so the Tacoma Project is set up in a very unique way. We provide immediate access. One of the biggest killers for a homeless person to get help is time. It's hurry up and wait. A person comes in, they need help. They may even get detox. They may even make it to a treatment center. But in most cases, they're asked to wait. And in order to be come into a treatment center when you're homeless, you got to get medically cleared, detoxed, assessed, mentally stable, on your medication. There's so many hoops to jump through that, and then you have to stay that way until your bed day. And usually a bed day can take anywhere from 2 weeks to 2 months. So at a Tacoma Project, we're set up in a way where we bring immediate access. Or you can call today and come in today. And that's our whole idea, is immediate access to the homeless, providing them the level of care they need long term, meaning that they can be with us for longer than 30 days. And that's so the first problem is getting off the streets, get into a therapeutic community where you can get the help. And then the other one is for those who do make it to treatment, if you're on Medicaid, which is about 90% of our homeless, at least in Pierce County, they're going to get a 28-day stay in a treatment center. You can't fix homelessness in 28 days. So we're set up to treat them 6 months to 9 months and help them heal over a period of time.
Well, and you know, Kenny, thank you very much. It's not rocket scientist. I mean, it's like, as well as I, I've been in this field for many years, and if people go back to the same environment that they just left and that's all they know, you can't blame them for falling back. And, you know, we used to call it put them through a spin cycle. Get them cleaned up for a little bit. Clean them up, you know, detox them, and you'll be fine. Go out there. Just, oh, and by the way, hit a couple of 12-step meetings.
Exactly.
You know, it's a lot harder than that. And a lot of the issues go much deeper than just stop using. Just stop drinking. Mm-hmm. It's like people use and drink because they have an affliction. And a lot of times the affliction can either be, I mean, there's a lot of different schools on this too, but it could be genetic. It could be from trauma. Most of it stems from adverse childhood experiences.
Right.
And how do you correct that? How do you correct that by just going to a meeting?
Right.
You know, just getting the alcohol or the drugs out of the system is essential, but it just barely touches the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
Once a person cleans out, when I say clean out, it just means, you know, stop self-medicating. And by the way, that's another MAT issue we'll talk to Kenny about is medication-assisted therapy. But it takes a person to be willing to do the work they need to do to address the issues. That's why, you know, a 12-step community. Some people say, well, there's too much God stuff. It's like, well, you know what? You can say whatever you want, but let's just start working on you
right. By
working on some of the step work. AA or NA or any 12-step organization did not invent the 12 steps. All of those 12 steps are all ancient spiritual principles. What Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob Smith did is they just kind of put them in a workable plan, in a workable order, to where it would make sense to a lot of us.
Right.
And you would work with the sponsor to be able to understand that. And it's learning principles like telling the truth, principles like practicing humility, principles like being able to admit you're wrong when you're wrong, principles like being able to be willing to make amends, you know, principles like reaching out your hand to be of assistance and to be of service to somebody that needs it. Those are the things you really learn. So anyway, I know, Kenny, you've got a pretty deep story yourself. Would you speak to that a little bit about where you came from and how you sure. got here?
Yeah. Wasn't my plan to do what I do today, that's for sure. My plan was to be the baddest gangster and hustler I could ever be in life. And that seed was planted at age 5.
In Los Angeles, in Compton.
Los Angeles, Compton, Pomona, Long Beach, Watts, all throughout the county of Los Angeles. And that was back in 1978. At age 5, I incorporated a value and belief system based on my environment. And that's the way I live. And and dedicated myself to a gang life. And drugs came with that. Alcohol came with that. Violence came with that. I've been shot many times, shot people, been to prison 5 times, county jail, I don't even know how many times.
Starting at age 5.
At age 5 is when the whole path was set in place, and I embraced that value and belief system.
Well, and the thing that a lot of people don't realize is that a lot of people don't choose to enter a gang. A lot of it is generational, You grew up in a gang family, if I'm not mistaken. Right. Is that correct?
In order for choices to be present, so do options. If there's no options, there are choices not even available, right? There has to be options. And when you live in the hood, there is no options. Mm. There's only one option, what we're doing. And so there wasn't even never a thought of a choice. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do something, different. There wasn't no Girls and Boys Clubs. There wasn't no Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts. Well, none of that. The movies, they lie to us. There were no recruiters taking people out and putting them in college. None of that. It was the hood. And if you were in L.A. in the 80s, you were involved in the crack epidemic, right?
Hey, I was there in the 80s. So, I know what L.A. was like, and I almost... killed. I'm not going to say L.A. almost killed me. I almost killed myself with my behavior in L.A. Yeah.
Right. And so that was, you had three types in L.A. during the crack epidemic. You had the mom and dad who both had to work, right? Or the single parent who had to work to hold it down, and the kids were left to do what they need to do. They call them latchkey kids, right? You had the parent on dope, leaving the kid in the streets again. Or you had the parent hustling that was in a gang, leaving the kid involved in that environment. And so there really was no way out. For me, I didn't see a way out. Nor was I looking for one, because I didn't know there was other options. And lived that way for 30 years.
Wow.
Finally, my addiction saved me. My addiction.
Okay, people kind of were scratching their head. Wait a minute.
Right.
The addiction can kill you, but how can it save you?
It can save you.
Well, it makes sense when you hear what Kenny has to say.
Yeah, if I didn't get strung out, I would have never sought to live differently. I would have been a gang member. My goal in life was to be a gangster. And that was it. And I was dedicated to it. Had no plans of changing that. And my value and belief system was completely 100% of being a Crip. And it wasn't until my addiction beat and destroyed where I couldn't even be a good gangster, right? Because that's what addiction does. It breaks you down. And no matter what your system is, whatever value, whatever lifestyle you want to live, be it good or bad, addiction doesn't allow that. And addiction made me run and look for a solution,
Well, one thing I found fascinating that you shared with me earlier, Kenny, was that if you're a member of the Crips, okay, Crips don't do crack.
No, we don't. If
you're going to be a Crip member, you are not allowed to do any crack, because that's what they do to make their money. That's what made them rich. And I'll tell you what, a couple of hits of crack, what's the next thing you're going to do? You're going to go find more crack.
Right.
That's the whole point of, that's why cocaine didn't work, because it was too expensive.
Very expensive.
And a lot of people that live in inner city can't afford $100 for a gram. Nope. But I'll tell you what, if the government found, oops, did I say that?
You said that. Yeah, tell the truth.
Yeah, I know. Found a way to condense that and sell it in more marketable pieces that weren't going to be flying away at the gust of a wind from the powder, put it in a little ice chip, so to speak, and smoke it and sell it for $10.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot easier for somebody to come up 10 bucks for a rock than it is for 100 bucks for a gram.
Very much so.
Do I kind of have that right?
Yeah. That brings on crime, right?
Exactly.
Because you got the s'mores.
Yep. So, fast forward, you get locked up, not once.
Not once.
Not twice.
Not twice.
Not three times.
Not three times.
And this goes from all the way down in the west coast of Los Angeles, California, up into the hot, well, you found some recovery in the high desert of Lancaster, but you ended up doing some time up in Washington, too, didn't you?
I went to prison three times up here, and many county jail stays. Yep.
So how does a person that's an active gang member, running and gunning, gets locked up numerous times, after living on the streets, own a 75-bed treatment facility? That's what boggles
that's
my mind.
It's
like, man, you talk about the phoenix rising from the dust.
Yeah, that's I ask myself, I know the answer, and it's God. You know, there's no other, and not only is God all the way, but I had to, at some point, surrender and be willing to embrace recovery. And that I didn't. My plan was not to own a treatment center. I didn't even want to work in this field anymore. I was done. And that, but there was other plans. And what I did is I surrendered to recovery, and I went back into the rooms of recovery, and incorporated a value and belief system and a design for living that would open up doors I normally couldn't open. And you know, when I was looking the other way, man, these doors open, and they had nothing to do with me. And the power, there's something out there greater than me that said, "This is what I need you to do." And it can't. And you know the craziest part? You look at a multi-million-dollar program, and a person that was homeless to own something like that is mind blowing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. There is. I mean, the proof is in the pudding here. There is grant money out there if a person needs to find out who to talk to and is persistent about it and can.
We didn't use one penny of grant money.
Really? What?
No, actually, grant money can be fickle. Yeah.
Because you have to follow their rules.
That's the big one. And so, the Tacoma Project is a new approach. We're not the traditional treatment center. There's a lot of things we do differently, because the current system for addressing homelessness is failing. Anyone that says we're winning the homeless battle or either don't know what they're talking about or they're lying. Right. And so our current system has. So what it is that the continuum of care has what we call gaps in it. And that's where our homeless slip through. And what we do and what I've done is I've filled those gaps in services. Real simple. Yeah. And, you know, rocket scientists can see that we had to come up with something better. And if you think about our system is set up for a homeless person to fail. Right. Because when it comes to the homeless, everyone says that they just need to be sheltered. The truth is, if you took a homeless person, because see, homelessness isn't a black problem, ain't a white problem or a Mexican problem. Homelessness is its own culture. And just like addiction and alcoholism, homeless does not discriminate.
Yep.
Right? And it's a culture all in itself. And it's a value belief system and a lifestyle that comes with being homeless. It has nothing to do with being unsheltered. It's a mindset. And you can take a homeless person and put them in a home, and they would turn that into a homeless encampment and at some point in time lose it because there's a time of preparation that they have to incorporate a new way to live in this world and live by the guidelines to be a successful member in our community. And you don't get that in the homeless setting. And so these current systems are set up like this. Hey, I'm homeless. I still want to use, you got a place where I can get sheltered. And so they got all these different systems that allow them to do that. But what about this, right? What about the homeless person who says, hey, I want to be a mommy and a daddy again. I want to go back to my family. I want to be a productive member of society. But I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
Because I've been out on the streets for the last 15 years and I lost my humanity. I don't know what how not to use. Drinking and drugging is a part of my lifestyle and I depend on it. I don't know how to do anything but mm-hmm. rob. I lie and I cheat for a living, right? And I'm maladjusted to a normal way of life. And if you put me in a shelter where people are using, I'm going to continue to use because I'm powerless. So where's their help at? And so in the development of these different models for housing, I mean for homelessness, they didn't set up anything for them. Because, see, when you get off the in order to overcome homelessness, you got to be protected from various choices that you make every day because you're in survival mode. So if I'm an addict or an alcoholic, early in this starting over, and you put me where my neighbor is smoking fentanyl, and I love fentanyl, I don't have the power to say no.
Yeah.
So you just set me up. And on and on and on, right? And so and that's why, you know, I have a nonprofit called Where Did They Go Foundation. And that's the question. When a person says, I want to be a productive member, I want to get off dope, I want to get mentally stable, I want housing, I want to get a job, I want to be prepared, right? Where do they go? There is no place that would. When I say where do they go, I'm talking about right now service, immediate access. See, if you tell them, and if there's any situation that is healthy, it takes weeks and months for them to get there.
Oh, I know it.
You know, and
I know it. You want to get well. We can get you in for an assessment 2 weeks from Wednesday.
Right. Yeah.
Say, well, they could be dead by then.
And
a lot of them are.
A lot of them are, and that's the other thing. So say they do all the things they need to do to get in there, and they get to bed day, and they're waiting. The problem is they have to stay healthy because if at any point in that 2 week wait, if you use again, if you get off your mental health meds, right?
Yeah.
You don't qualify and you have to start the process all over again. And so, but how do one, when you're in survival mode on the streets, do you not use, right?
Exactly. Well, not only that, but let's say here's a case scenario. Let's say if a child grows up in an environment where, at school he was a bit unruly, so we're going to probably have him see a mental health specialist. And, oh, yes, by the way, your child has ADHD, so we're going to give him Ritalin Adderall, it's basically we're going to give your kid legal meth.
Right.
You know? So now the kid grows up, and I'm not saying all situations are like this, but it creates a very, very dangerous mm-hmm. scenario for a child. So now the kid gets into their teens, somehow makes it through middle school, into high school, and has his first, and maybe even has been off the medication prescriptions for a while. Somebody introduces this kid to meth. Well, what does that do? It takes him right back to making so warm and so healthy for the first time because of their ADHD or their hyperactivity. And it's a feeling and a taste that they're very familiar with because it saved them before and it's going to save them again. And at the same time, destroy them mm-hmm. again.
Right.
It's an epidemic is what it is. Because it stems from a lot of really dysfunction. Mm-hmm. And so you're right. Kenny's facility is also highly attached to Advanced Mental Health of Washington, correct?
Right.
And so there is what we referred to earlier as medication-assisted therapy, MAT. And would you want to speak about that and mention exactly what that is for people that don't know?
Right. So the Tacoma Project is a collaboration of two organizations. Advanced Mental Health was an outpatient treatment center that does mental health services, the MAT program. So we're giving things addressing opioids like the Suboxone, the Vivitrol, things like that. We also provide SUD treatment, substance use disorder treatment. And we also do have a medical center there where we're providing mental health meds, everything a person needs. So there's nurses and doctors on site, there's counselors on site, there's mental health providers and psych on site, peer counselors. And the trick is this. If you're on Medicaid, usually you're going to get about 30-day stay in treatment. That's the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And you're discharged back to homelessness 80% of the time.
Yep.
So we had to figure out a way, we want to help the homeless. Well, you can't fix homelessness in 30 days. So if we were to become an inpatient treatment center, we would fall into the same category as everybody else. So what we did is we became an outpatient clinic where you can treat people 6 months to a year. And so what we do is we take our profits and we provide our own housing for every client that uses our outpatient treatment.
Wow.
Because you can't, some may think they can. It's very hard to overcome behavioral health while you're homeless because you're in survival mode.
Well, plus you're not connected with any facilities. Right. There's no case management.
Yeah. And so the whole thing about homelessness is this is a time where you need to prepare yourself and work through some things. It's really hard to do homeless. So what we came up with is our nonprofit, Where Do They Go Foundation, which is a question.
Okay, say the name of that nonprofit again.
Where Do They Go Foundation.
Where Do They Go Foundation.
Where do they go? When a homeless person says, I'm ready right now, and they're needing detox, they're in a drug-induced psychosis, they need some mental health meds, they might have some problems, and they need some health help. A lot of them have high blood pressure and diabetes, and they haven't had medication in a long time, or near death. You know, they have open wounds, of serious dental. These things stop them from getting in immediate, right?
Absolutely.
And so where do they go with all these symptoms and issues right now? So our housing programs accept them as is, and our peer counselors and case managers and medical team begin to address the issues in-house, because treatment and housing have to happen simultaneously.
And, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought I heard you mention that you can also assist with certain legal problems they may be having, or get them out of jail to do a safe place.
Yeah, we're actually contracting and are in certain jails where we provide these services while they're in jail.
That's what I thought.
And then transition them to our program upon release. And same with a lot of these inpatient treatment centers use us throughout the state from all over. They send their people to us because what they're learning is that if a person comes in homeless and they got 30 days of treatment, chances are they're going to leave homeless or they're going to go to a homeless shelter. Well, that's not therapeutic. And they need a therapeutic community.
Well, and plus they don't have the resources to put down a deposit for an apartment. A lot of times they still have some amends and some cleaning up to do before their family allow them.
They burned
a lot of bridges.
One thing about real estate does not accept, I will pay you later. You know what I mean?
Sad, but true.
And when it comes to the housing part, if you don't have money, you're not getting in.
Yep.
And the places that will accept you are not therapeutic or safe. Not for a person that's suffering from addictions and mental health.
Well, you know, thank God for people like you, because finally there is a formula that is proven to work. Let's take care of our people instead of throwing them right back where they came from.
Right.
Now, Kenny, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, or somebody had a loved one, or maybe even themselves could take advantage of a facility such as yours, how would one get a hold of you? I don't know if I should give this number.
Yeah, that's the number.
Is that okay?
Yeah, I'll give my number. I'm not a secret.
Okay. No, I realize that, but just out of respect, you
have
a
personal phone, and I answer it 24/7.
Oh, I know you do.
I'm dedicated.
Just in bringing Kenny over from Tacoma to the island, his phone did not stop ringing.
Right.
And it was all about people reaching out, needing help. And he is right there with a solution and doesn't beat around the bush. Lets people know exactly what they need to hear if they want to get well.
I'm spirit with a purpose.
What's that?
Spared with a purpose.
Spirit with a purpose.
Spared.
Spared with a purpose.
Yeah, it means
I
wasn't going to make it. And something greater than me spared me, and God gave me a purpose. And there's no days off for that.
And that's your testimony to that, my friend.
Yeah.
I'm so blessed to even be able to know you. And I know Kenny through the recovery community. And so, on the way over here, his phone didn't stop on the ferry the whole way. It's funny. And I hope to have him on here again, because this is what I'm hoping Thunderbird is going to be like if and when we get them here on the island. And Kenny, I'm going to give the public your phone number here, which is 253-981-5832. And believe it or not, we're practically out of time here, but I want to give you that number one more time. Kenny Moultrie is the name, and he's the program coordinator with Behavioral Health Treatment and Recovery for the Homeless, and is number 253-981-5832. And for anybody that you want to share this information that we've gone through today, and I'm hoping a lot of people learned a lot from me being able to have Kenny here today, you can also access the Voice of Ashon website, voiceofvashon.org and replay any of our archived shows. It might take a couple days to get this show on the archive list, but feel free. It's listed right under Adventures in Recovery. Starts with an A, so we're the first show entered. You know what, folks? I got to run. I love you all. Thank you for listening today. Once again, big thanks to Kenny Moultrie, and people, enjoy your holiday.
Thank you, Tom, for having me. It was a pleasure.
My pleasure. And you know what? Next Tuesday, guess what we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about sober, dry January, because we'll be on the air next week, and it'll be New Year's Eve. So let's talk about seeing what it would take to maybe some of you trying something new and maybe not have a drink in January. Once again, thank you, everyone. Once again, I love you all, and Merry Christmas.